name of Jesus to take the word that you have definitely laid on my heart. Lord, you don't always do it this way, but the other night, Lord, it was just as if you were standing over my shoulder. And you were saying, but what about that verse in the Old Testament? And what about that one in the New that goes with that one in the Old? And Lord, you don't always do me that way, but you did the other night. And I thank you for it. So I know I've heard from you. And now, Lord, I pray that the transmission will not be broken. That these thoughts, these God thoughts, these edifying thoughts will pass through these lips of clay and this heart of flesh to your people, and may you, O Lord, take them and use them for your eternal glory. For it is in Jesus' name that all of us ask this. And if you agree with this prayer, would you say amen? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hang on. Hang on. Whew. Hang on. Glory. You know, the other day, I read too much, probably. I read everything. I read bumper stickers. Believe it or not, bumper stickers are an excellent source for radio programs. I pulled up here at my corner. I claim it's my corner. I've left my blood there twice. The gas mart corner. I was in line waiting for the traffic light to change the other day, and I happened to glance at the back window of the car that was in the lane just to my right. In a humorous sort of way, the small window sticker said just about everything there is to say about the times in which we live. It said, get in, sit down, shut up, and hang on. Ours is a troubled world indeed. I don't have to tell you that for you to know that. It's in big time trouble. The Old Testament prophet Micah. And Micah 7 verse 1 through 4 in the NIV describes it, I think, pretty well. What misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat. None of the early figs that I crave. The godly have been swept from the land. Not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The ruler demands gifts. The judge accepts bribes. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them is like a briar, the most upright worse than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman has come, the day God visits you. Now is the time of their confusion. But there's some good news. There is some good news. Tell you what it is. God has not gone out of business. He hasn't had to call a special legislative session in heaven to deal with some unforeseen crisis. My God has a mighty vocabulary, an excellent vocabulary. But I can promise you that there is one word he has never said. Oops. That's my intention this morning, if God will help me to do this, to take us to both the Old and New Testaments to gain perspective concerning the God we serve, who is, who was, and is to come. Psalm 76, verse 1 through 10 in the KJV. To the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm or song of Asaph. In Judah is God known, His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is His tabernacle, and His dwelling place in Zion. There break He the arrows of the bow, the shield and the sword in the battle, Selah. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At Thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a dead sleep. Thou, even Thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in Thy sight when once Thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah, surely the wrath of man shall praise Thee. The remainder of wrath shalt Thou restrain. What a powerful scripture that is. It becomes even more powerful when you consider that last phrase in that. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Now I confess to you, there's a lot of King James words that I have trouble with. Because in 1600 they meant one thing, and today they mean something totally different. Now as I've pointed out before, you can get to heaven without reading the King James Bible. But when you get there, the first thing they'll do is to hand you a King James Bible. I'm being facetious. I hope you understand that. I go to other translations simply for clarification. I grew up on King James. I've memorized King James. I love the King James Bible. I am not making fun of the King James Bible. Times have changed. Vocabularies have changed. And I remember, I'm old enough to remember when cool was hot. And hot was cool. Kid walked up to me one day after a sermon, said, "Man, that was bad." Another kid walked up and said, "Man, that was way bad." I didn't know they were giving me a compliment. I remember when bad used to be good, and good used to be bad, and cool used to be hot, and hot used to be cool. But look with me at the last part of that. In the New King James, Psalm 76 and 10, and that's not on your scripture, Margo. Thank you. Margo taught a Sunday school class and get scriptures. You guys, God bless you this morning. I think you did. You didn't have to teach. You brought them downstairs. All right. Well, you've been busy, I'll tell you that. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you, it says. With the remainder of wrath, you shall gird yourself. Now, that's pretty good. I like that. But I like Living Bible, too. Man's futile wrath will bring you glory. You will use it as an ornament. God is going to make a necklace out of the tomfoolery of men, out of the wickedness of man, out of the rebellion of men, all the things that are going on in the world, God's going to make a necklace out of it and wear it around His neck. An ornament. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me share something else with you today. History will bear this out. Whether godly men and women are in power or ungodly men and women seem to be holding the whip, either way, God is in control. In the Old Testament book of Numbers, There was a king named Balak. He hired a backslidden prophet named Balaam. He was either backslidden or possibly he might not have ever even known God. He wasn't right with God. Let's just put it that way. King Balak was willing to pay good money for Balaam to prophesy a curse on God's people, the Israelites, who were on their way to the promised land. We pick up the reading just as the show is about to begin. Oh, Balaam, oh my goodness. Balaam can already hear the clinking of the king's gold coins rattling in his knapsack. Woo, glory to God. Send me your tithes. You send me $100 and God will bless you immediately this afternoon with $1,000. Baloney. Balaam was licking his chops. Let's pick the reading up. Numbers 23, verse 16 through 24. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth. Ooh, praise God. Well, I guess God could do that. If God caused a donkey to talk, he could cause a backslidden prophet to talk. God put a word in his mouth and said, go again unto Balak and say thus. So, right off the bat, let's establish it. What the prophet is going to say will be the word of God. Because God put it in his mouth. Verse 17. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what has the Lord spoken? And he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Verse 22, God brought them out of Egypt. He have, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what has God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. Wow. That isn't the message that Balaam went to the pulpit with. He didn't intend to say any of that. He intended to give the king the green light. Go for it, king. But God put a word in his mouth. I want to look at verse 21 again. He, God, hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. How in the world could this be? How could it be? These people had done nothing but grumble and complain ever since they left Egypt. And among other things, in a drunken orgy, they had made and worshipped a golden calf, an idol. And God says, he has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. How could God possibly not behold perverseness in Israel? Please hear me out. I don't understand all of what I'm fixing to tell you. I don't want to give that impression that I understand it all, that I have a handle on it all. Because I've spent a lifetime trying to figure out why God saved me. And I don't understand that either. I don't understand why you baptized me in the Holy Ghost, called me to preach. I don't understand a lot of things that I read. So please bear me out If you have a differing opinion, God bless you. And God help us all to have more light, that we can understand more perfectly God's ways. But let me just share with you some insight that I seem to have received. First of all, I believe that God does not look at us as we see ourselves. Yes, thank God. Thank God He does not look at us as we see ourselves. And I'm not trying to diminish how horrible our sins at all. No, not at all. I'm not trying that. Romans chapter 4, verse number 7 and 8. Verse 7. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Think of the many scriptures in the Bible where our sins have been covered. Now, they've been forgiven, they've been washed, but they've been covered. Hallelujah. Verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. God is the divine CPA. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And He charges our sins against Jesus' righteousness. First John chapter 2, verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. All we can see, all I can see, is a work in progress. I truly believe when God looks at us, He sees the finished product. All I can see is a work in progress. I stumble and I fumble and I mess up and I promise God I'm going to do better next time and I don't. My very best efforts are not good enough to save my soul, much less save my hide. God sees us through the filter of the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the covering of the blood. Now that's one thought. But there's a second possibility here why He didn't see perverseness in Israel. I'd never seen this before. Never put it together. Never. And I didn't put it together the other day. God just seemed to peer over my shoulder and say, have you ever seen this? I wish I could tell you that it happens that way every Sunday. Anybody that knows me knows that I come to this church sometimes on Sunday morning and haven't a clue. And not because I hadn't been praying and seeking God and studying all week either. It's because I don't know why. I've often wished God would just do me this way every Sunday, but He doesn't. But this is something the Lord seemed to show me. Something that had taken place just one chapter before this. Let's go to Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 and 9, 4 through 9. Just a page or two back from in my Bible from where we took our text today. Verse 4. And they journeyed, the Israelites journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, no water. Our soul loathes this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee, praying to the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. There is a powerful lot of gossip in this Old Testament story. A lot of gospel here. There's a pattern for the ages, if you please. Let me just briefly review it. They had sinned against God and against their intercessor, Moses. Moses is referred to in the Scripture as the intercessor of the Old Testament. Jesus is the intercessor for the New Testament and for all, really. But Moses was the only, he was their intercessor. He stood between God and man. Moses, God allowed Moses one day to just have a really pretty rough conversation. God said, "Get out of my way. I'm going to kill them all." And Moses said, "God, don't do that. What will the heathen say?" And he interceded. Moses was the Old Testament. Are we on the same page here? Moses was the intercessor. They had sinned against their intercessor. They had fallen under judgment. Fiery serpents were killing off the Israelites. Let me tell you, you cannot sin and get by with it. Sin will not leave you the same as you were before the sin. No matter how glamorous it is, no matter how it's glorified on the tube, no matter how it's propagated by those who would have you to think that it is, sin does always ends in a ditch. Always ends up costing you more than you want to pay. They had fallen under judgment. Fiery serpents were killing off the Israelites. They humbled themselves then. The people cried, "We have sinned." Wow. Some of the most liberating words you can ever utter in this life is when you sin, just say it. Just own up to it. Don't try to justify your envy or your hatred or your lust or whatever it is that you've been guilty of. Just say, "Lord, I have sinned. Forgive me my sin." They cried, "We've sinned," and the intercessor, Moses, prayed for the people. He interceded for them. And you know what? Then a cure for the serpent bite was made. God instructed Moses to make a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. All he had to do is look. Look at that brass serpent on a pole. If it had been snake bit. And when he looked in faith, because that was obeying what God had said, just look at it, he wouldn't die. You see, you believe that stuff? Yes, I do. Because we've got a God that's big enough to pull something like that off. Nobody else could make that work, but God could. And God did. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to move to the New Testament just for a few moments here. Pick up the threads of the same story, because it's a story of redemption is what it is. And we're going to turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4 in the Message. Eugene Peterson translation. Listen to this. From the very first day we were there taking it all in. John is writing this. We took it all. We were with him. We heard it with our own ears, saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you in most sober prose that what we witnessed was incredibly this. The infinite life of God Himself took shape before us. We saw it. We heard it. And now we're telling you so that you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. Hallelujah! Praise God! Hallelujah! Our hands have handled the word of life, King James says. Back and forth, Old Testament, New Testament, the New Testament, just as Israel in the Old Testament had sinned and confessed it. Romans 3:23. Wow. For, say it with me, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Turn to somebody and say, you're there too. All have sinned and come short of the glory. I heard an all back there. Glory to God. Bless these kids. Amen. They're some of the best people to preach to there are. All of sin. Okay, secondly, Israel had fallen under judgment. Many had already died. Many more were destined to die. Romans 6:23. Let's read that together. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, this is good. This is good. All right. Thirdly, the intercessor, Moses, prayed to God, and God provided a remedy for sin and death. John 3, verse 13 through 17. I'm going to read this. Read along with me. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Read this one with me out loud. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now I'll read. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now then, you read with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise God. Praise God. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. As Moses lifted up a brass serpent in the wilderness, and the people in faith looked to that symbol of sin, Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. And all you and I have to do is to look in faith at the symbol of our sins and know that it was not his sin that put him there, but it was our sin that put him there, and he is there to save us from our sins. Hallelujah! What a gospel we have to share with the world. What a gospel there is for the world. In the Old Testament, God said he has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. Is there a parallel to the New Testament story? Yep, I believe there is. While hanging on the cross, Jesus said something very strikingly similar to what Moses said. And we see that in John 17:24. Jesus is praying, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. I'll tell you where he was in just a minute. That they may behold thy glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation. Let me tell you where he was. That they may be with me where I am. I'm telling you, we do not know the scope. We do not know the powerful impact of the moment. We have no way as earthlings, of human beings, of finite mortal beings to know all that went on. But you see, what was taking place was the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were having a divine conference. They were nailing down the last few details of the plan of salvation. He was behind the veil. He was in the presence of God. He was in the throne room. Yes, his body was hanging on the cross.
He said that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Hallelujah! Praise God. But listen to this. Jesus said that they may be with me where I am. Who were the people Jesus was praying for? Where were they? I tell you where they were. They had all forsaken him and ran. Except probably John. And he was there because the Bible has a little diatribe between John and Jesus about who's going to take care of his mother. Where were they? They ran out. Have you ever run out on him? I have. And I've come slinking back. Ashamed to lift my head. I knew what I had coming. I knew what I deserved. But if you've read in the Bible where the Bible said, he is the joy and the lifter of mine head. Woo! Oh, somebody needs to shout hallelujah! When my head is down and my spirits are low and I know I got it coming, and he lifts me up. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. They had all forsaken. We got to hurry here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 21, Margo. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're blessed people. Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We are a chosen people. Ephesians 1, 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I am not holy and without blame in before you. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I am holy and without blame before him. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise God. Hallelujah. Now, verse 5, Ephesians 1 and 5. Our blessedness wasn't an afterthought. It was predetermined. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, we've not only been adopted, we've been accepted. You see, in the natural, everybody that gets adopted is not necessarily accepted. But we've been adopted, and we've been graciously accepted. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Ephesians 1:7. We are a forgiven people, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We are a delivered people. Colossians 1:12-13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We are a joyful people. 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we are a people of destiny. Ephesians 2:4-7. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. One of the most frequently asked questions that I get being a preacher is, what is heaven going to be like, as if I know? Will we know our loved ones in heaven? Will we do this in heaven? Will we do that in heaven? I don't know. I haven't been told. Neither have you. But the best I can figure out from Paul's writing in Ephesians chapter 2, what heaven is going to be about is Jesus is going to spend all eternity showing off his children, his brothers, his sisters, showing us off. Think of what that would be like. Now, I tell you what, I like to hobnob with good, influential people. That's why I pastor Grand Assembly. I don't mind being seen with you on the street. I believe in you. I love you. I'm proud of you. Proud to be a part of your life. But can you imagine what it would be like, it will be like one day, to have Jesus come up and just put his arm around your shoulder and say, let's go for a walk. And after you walk through 3 or 4 galaxies, you come to somebody and he says, let's stop here. And he shows you off. This is mine. He's my friend. He stood with me. He accepted me. He believed in me. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't much to look at. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what they're going to tell Ralph Morgan. I'm sorry. But I love him, and he loved me, and he lived for me, and he confessed me as his Lord. And we walk on to another guy. He just shows us off. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Walking along. Robert, get up here. Come up here, brother. Walking along. I'm not pretending to be Jesus, and he's not pretending to be me, for goodness sake. Praise God, but we're just walking along. Jesus walked from one galaxy to another. Praise God, said, look at him. He's mine. I love him. He loves me. Praise God. You can go sit down, brother. Glory to God, what it's going to be like. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, do you believe all that? I'll tell you what, it may not happen just that way, but I promise you this. Heaven, Heaven is out of this world. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Got a call the other day from a little, from the daughter of a little lady I'd never met before in my life. Didn't know it, but she watched me on TV and listened to Caulfield Hatfield. They called me to come pray for her. Little Assembly of God woman, years ago, she died. Went in and had prayer. Gave them a card with my email address on it. They've been emailing me the last 2 days. Said, you know what, Mama's probably going to go. She's probably going to go be with the Lord. It looks like it's time. But I will tell you what happened. Said we were laying there, and after he had left, and she was laying there and not stirring a whole lot, and all of a sudden she wanted to sit up in bed. And said she sat up in bed, she took a little nourishment, and after she ate just a little bit, she raised them old hands, started praising, said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Before our communion time, I want to borrow from that sticker in that car window one more time, if I may. Rephrase it. Just a little. Get in. Don't sit down. Stand up. Don't shut up. Pray up. Don't hang on. Let Him hang on to you. Hallelujah! Let Him hang on to you. Praise God. Those that are going to be serving our communion, I'd like to ask you to come, please. Prepare to take your place. I don't know who all I've preached to this morning. Let me tell you that being saved, accepting the Lord, we traditionally do it by having people to come to an altar and pray, and that's wonderful, and I love those times. But I'm going to ask you this. If you would accept Jesus Christ in your heart today, do it now and take communion as your first act. Do it now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I open it wide to you. I receive you by faith in Jesus' name. I want you to sing with me, please. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, You to begin ushering people around to receive the elements of communion, please. As you return to your seats, hold the elements and we will receive together. Amen. Cheryl, you can come. Yes, thank you. Come to the keyboard, please, if you will. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, what a sacred and holy, blessed and precious time. Good job, sir. anyone else is not physically able to come down, if you'll raise your hand while Tom has elements out in the audience, please raise your hand. They will serve you. Cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Romans 12:5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be a thankful. Hebrews 3:14, for we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let us eat the bread. After the same manner, also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Shall we drink the cup? On a hill far away, on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the
and I love that old